noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And welcome to Wednesday afternoon as we sit high atop the Chicago River in the Allstate Skyline Studio. A short show today, White Sox baseball coming up just after the 12:30 headline, so let's get right to it. Dennis Rodkin is in the studio, writes about real estate for Cranes, and is one of my favorite guests. Dennis, welcome back.
Thanks, Steve. That's a nice way to butter me up.
I say it really for everyone who sits here, but I appreciate that you fell for it.
I feel honored.
Okay, so we've been talking about the reassessment, right, for property values,
right,
and that it was hit badly in Lakeview, or Lakeview was feeling the...
Right.
So there's a big meeting tonight, right? Punching gloves, or what's going on here?
Punching gloves. Well, everybody told me they don't expect it to be contentious, but...
public hearing on property taxes.
On property taxes,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
It's like, there's
no
likely to be some volume there. The median assessment in Lakeview Township up over 30% for single-family homes. And again, as we've explained here, your assessment is not your tax bill. It's one of the pieces that goes into the calculation of the tax bill. 31% increase doesn't mean your tax bill will go up that much. But people look at it and they say, oh my, you know, this is going to have quite a significant impact on my tax bill. So there is a group of homeowners, a newly convened group called Lakeview United, hosting a meeting tonight at Hawthorne Elementary on Clinton to talk about it. And they have a representative of the assessor's office coming. They also have a woman who ran against both the incumbent and the man who won, who has done her own analysis and thinks the numbers are wrong. And they also have Sarah Fiegenholtz, their local state rep, coming to talk about these numbers,
right,
which are pretty alarming for a lot of them.
Will things change? I mean, the appeal process is already passed, right?
The appeal process for those properties is over. Certainly, I don't think things would change en masse. I don't think the assessor would say, okay, we're whacking 3%
of points. Okay, how about just for everybody who shows up?
Yeah, exactly. If you were here. But one thing that we are watching is the assessor, after doing, so they're only doing the city this year. They do pieces of the suburbs in the other 2 years. After doing Lakeview and Rogers Park, they pulled back and said the other townships within Chicago were going to push back a little bit, do later. I think part of that was due to the surprise of the size of the increases.
Okay, one of the reasons I love reading your stories is because really they're history lessons in Chicago. I know they
thank
are.
You.
I really
I,
like that.
I, thank you.
For example, let's go to Swedetown.
Swedetown.
Tell me about that.
Interesting place.
I mean, it really shows you how a neighborhood changes throughout its life. And
I was fascinated to see that the neighborhood that we later came to know as Cabrini Green started out prior to the Great Chicago Fire. It was known as Swedetown. There were about 8 different Swedish church congregations there and a lot of Swedish immigrants. It later becomes Little Sicily, Little Hell, and then Cabrini Green. But a church that was built by the first Swedish Baptist congregation in the 1880s, but the congregation dates to the 1840s, changed hands, and since 1920 has been an African Methodist Episcopalian church, an AME church, catering to the to black worshipers, and in particular, for a half a century, to Cabrini Green worshipers.
It's on Elm Street, right?
It's on Elm Street,
is it like
yeah.
Elm and LaSalle?
It's Elm and, I'm sorry, it's the 500 block of Elm. It's
okay.
Elm and Cleveland.
Elm and Cleveland,
Elm and Cleveland. And it came to be surrounded by CHA high rises. Those are all gone. High-end townhouses, some condos have come in the neighborhood around. So this AME congregation put the property up for sale Thursday night for a little over $3 million, for about $3.3 million. Friday, I'm calling the real estate agent. She can't get back to me. She finally calls me Saturday, less than 48 hours later, and says, well, now I can tell you it's sold.
Wow.
They, in less than 2 days, they had it under contract. So the sale hasn't closed, but it's under contract to a buyer. In less than 2 days, they had advertised it as just the land. They feel that the building is beyond repair, even though it has stood since 1889, I think, and has been through all these iterations of the neighborhood. But the deal that they have may include, the minister there told me, the deal may include the buyer creating space for the congregation in whatever is to be built. They can't give me any other specifics yet, but the congregation may stay where it's been since 1920.
So is this a sad story, a bittersweet story, a happy story? I mean, I'm sorry to see this building go.
I
used to drive by this building all the time.
Yeah, you probably did when Cabrini Green was everybody's shortcut, right? I didn't get inside. They couldn't get me inside fast enough before it sold. I was going to get inside after. So I don't know the condition of the inside. The exterior looks great. Who knows what's going to go on the spot. But if it's been added to, chopped up, changed over the course of years, maybe it's not salvageable. I'd like to see some sort of a memorial. You know, they have the Wayman Amey cross on it, maybe that or something. The other thing is bittersweet. The congregation will get money that will help it carry forward.
That's what I mean. So it might be a happy story.
I mean, they're down to a much smaller congregation than they used to be. They may need funds.
A theme of this week's programs, not intentionally, but has been Walgreens. You know, Walgreens first traded on the Dow this week. I made a couple jokes about Mayor Emanuel. He was here and, you know, stealing Walgreens employees. I live in Deerfield. I lost my Bulls. All my Bulls friends are gone.
Exactly.
Now my Walgreens friends are moving. 1,300 jobs coming from Deerfield to downtown Chicago. So then again, you write this story looking at what impact that will have on the North Shore housing market.
Yeah, and so it is too early to say, but it is the time to look at it. One thing we need to keep in mind is that over 4,000 employees are staying up there, right? But when you shift 1,300 jobs out of the north suburbs to downtown, you pull some demand off of that housing market, potentially. One of the reasons Walgreens is moving those jobs downtown, as has been reported on so many of these downtown moves by McDonald's and others, is that workers want to live downtown or live in the city now.
Steve Baird was on the show earlier this week and talked about a real migration into the city.
Yeah, it's hard to deny that that's going on. So I'm not reporting that 1,300 people are going to dump their homes on the market. But I do think if I hold a job at Walgreens now and it moves downtown, when I leave that job, it's very likely that the next person in that job isn't compelled to move north. So it's sort of a gradual removal of something like 1,300 units of demand in an area where homes are selling slowly. They're selling at discount prices. The North Shore hasn't been behaving.
Is the North Shore old news?
I don't know if the North Shore is more lukewarm than it was a generation ago. A lot of the people who are now living in re-gentrified north side neighborhoods were on the North Shore and the north suburbs. So this Walgreens would not only affect the towns on the water, but a lot of other north suburbs. And a lot of those people are either, if I'm the next generation, I'm living in the city and I say I'm going to stay in the city to raise my kids. Whether that happens, you know, will play out over the next 10, 15 years. And empty nesters moving in and people who aren't in a family chain are living downtown. So it turns out that, you know, this could actually have a long-term effect, not a cataclysmic effect, but a long-term sort of erosion of demand in a place where demand has been slowing down.
Dennis Rodkin, read more at chicagobusiness.com. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Bill Geiger in the studio. Our conversations with Bill Geiger are sponsored by Geiger Wealth Management. Bill, nice to see you. Welcome back to the studio.
Good to see you, sir. Beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day. It's well, the market's not been beautiful, right? We've been up and down. There's a big loss on Monday.
That's right.
And so if you're eyeing retirement or looking ahead, what do days like that tell you to do?
I think it's an early warning for you. If you're getting close to retirement, late 50s, early 60s, you can look at days like Monday as kind of a reminder to start transitioning your portfolio. It shouldn't look like a 30-year-old's anymore. It should start looking more like a pre-retirement portfolio.
And so what is it that you look at then? Your balance, your strategies?
Well, your strategies primarily. A 30-year-old, which is what most people's portfolios look like, can blow themselves up and they've got 30 years to make the money back again. Late 50s, early 60s, you don't have that. And you probably have more money than you've ever had in your life. So the first strategy is to go after your risk. Make sure you don't have big losses.
You know, I think this is one of the things we talk about, because when you're in your 30s or 40s, you're looking at an investment plan in a way. You know,
right.
It's all about saving, and you're not so much about distributing.
That's correct.
What we talk about here is there comes a time when you have to start looking at, or considering the distribution.
Well, you want to make sure you don't have big losses. And the number two thing you want to transition to is you need a plan to produce dependable, sustainable income that you're going to need in retirement to supplement your Social Security. So you're right. That's a distribution phase.
So what do you do? What's the how do we make this work?
Well, you take part of your portfolio and you move it away from outright growth, and you use some income strategies that are designed to, number one, not lose money, number two, still grow tied to an index of some sort, and number three, to produce dependable, sustainable income that you can't run out of.
You just said something tied to an index of some sort. What do
yes.
you mean? Because a lot of times, you know, I think when we talk about this, we think that when it comes to worrying about distribution, that we're taking money off of our savings. You know, that it's not going to grow.
No, there are income strategies that actually grow your money faster in a safe way than what you're pulling it out. So you can have dependable income and potentially still grow your money. And you know, that's kind of the trifecta of retirement planning.
Right. It's good. And if you have a pension, right, pension's good.
Right.
And
pension can be good. Pension can be good.
Can you count on a pension?
Well, let me ask you this. Would you like to depend upon your former employer making good financial decisions for the next 20, 25, 30 years? That's a little bit iffy.
Right.
If you have the option of taking a lump sum distribution instead of your pension, you can create your own pension that might be a whole lot safer than depending upon a former employer.
How many employers allow you to do that? Is that
quite a few?
Really?
Quite a few, yeah.
And when can you take it out? Just after you retire?
When you retire.
Age?
Okay. When you retire, generally.
Okay. And we've also talked about taking money from your 401k.
You can do that after 59 and a half.
And no penalties.
No penalties. You do something called an in-service rollover. And all that means is you're rolling the money from your 401k plan into an IRA. You can still continue participating, but now that it's in an IRA, you can do safer stuff
with
it.
And so what's the benefit of that?
Well, first of all, you have a lot more tools. In a 401k, you've got a very limited menu. You're basically looking at risk and money market funds. If you roll into an IRA, you've got a lot more flexibility in how you manage that money.
So the other thing, and you talk to people who are coming in planning for retirement, getting ready, right?
Right.
And so I think a lot of that is numbers, charts, things like that. But a lot of it has to do with our psyche, too. We have to know when we're ready or when we're not ready or feel comfortable about it, right? How big of a part of your job is that?
Well, the biggest deal, Steve, is knowing that you've got enough income that's going to be coming in to pay your bills.
Right.
If you know you've got enough income, you're basically ready to retire.
If you've got the income built in so that it's going to be coming your way.
If you've got Social Security.
So that's kind of the thing. We're almost creating, it's not a job. You won't be going to work, but you're creating a paycheck.
You're creating your own paycheck.
Right.
Exactly. Because what's retirement? Retirement's 20 to 30 years of unemployment, right? There's no paycheck.
Right.
So you need to create your own paycheck.
All right. Bill Geiger from Geiger Wealth Management, thanks for coming in.
It's my pleasure, sir. And let's make a special offer to our clients, to our listeners. The next five callers who call in, we're going to do a full-blown retirement plan on a complimentary basis. They have to have $500,000 of assets.
It's great to see you. I can't wait for the next time.
Good to see you, sir.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. All right, how many frozen dinners could you buy for $8.2 billion? A lot? Well, Illinois-based ConAgra Foods just had some $8 billion lying around, so they decided to buy Pinnacle Foods to grow their frozen food business. To add to the Healthy Choice frozen lineup, Pinnacle brings products like Bird's Eye Vegetables, Hungry Man Meals, and Udi's gluten-free breads to their frozen food selections. Here's the trend yet again, frozen foods making waves because of their convenience. And on another note, let's break down all this news yesterday from the Supreme Court's decision on Mark Janus's union fees case. Okay, so the union he was a part of charges a monthly fee of $45, and Janus believed that those fees were being used to support beliefs of the union that he didn't see eye to eye with. Those beliefs were being expressed by union organizers when they hosted blanket negotiations for the union members. So, he challenged that by saying those charges go against his freedom of speech. The Supreme Court decided that he no longer needs to pay those fees if he does not want to. And there you go. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.